Let's get right into it. The Psalms 27, verse 6, gives us a insights on our key scripture. We're going to pick up here. If you don't have a handout from last week, I think we got a few more left. This is the one we hand out. And then, of course, if you have others, why rejoicing is needed so much. You need to keep these three, the fruit of force, the joy, the force of joy, and the why is rejoicing needed so much, and this one tonight, sacrifice of joy. Amen. Because this is so important. Like Andrew Murray said, joy and rejoicing is the serious business of heaven. And I think you're going to get more insights on that tonight. So last week we talked about the sacrifice of joy. Psalms 27, verse 6 explains to us, and now shall my head be lifted up, read not amplified, above my enemies round about me, and in his tent I will offer sacrifices and shouting of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. The last week we talked about that we should not let the devil take our shout of praise and our shout of joy. Why is that so important? Because when you have no joy, you have no strength. Sometimes when you're under attack from the enemy, when you're in a crisis, when you're experiencing pain, problems, and pressure, there are occasions where you need to face that mountain and sacrifice some joy in a shout or in a song. Amen. Sing for joy, shout for joy. We said last week as well on the pinkish looking handout, why is joy and rejoicing needed so much? Because it's to generate joy, to stir up the joy, to encourage ourselves and be exceedingly glad as we serve the Lord, to enable, equip us, and empower us to resist. Because as we're running our race, there is going to be resistance, spiritual resistance and circumstantial resistance. That will stand in your way from completing the will of God for your life. Amen. John, if you can give me a little bit more volume. I'm pumping out good. Okay, thank you. So you got to be able to resist sin, because sin is basically disobedience or rebellion against the will of God. You know what to do, but you don't do it, or you're doing the will of God and there is a delay or a complete disobedience factor involved. You just don't do it. You just choose not to do it. And then, of course, you got to resist sickness. You have to resist Satan. You have to resist sorrow, which I'll bring up a little bit more tonight, as well as we incorporate into singing for joy. And then you have to run. Run your race. Run with the vision. Run with patience or cheerful endurance. Running, we said, implies two things, direction and momentum. So if you understand in your life that you may be absent of direction and momentum, then you have to check your joy levels. We said that you should have your hands and be very cognizant of two things, your joy and your peace monitors. Everybody say it, joy and peace. And so you, joy and rejoicing helps you to receive. It's the bridge from believing to receiving that is rejoicing. And then it's how the proper biblical way to respond to persecution. When people talk about you, when people lie on you or say bad things about you, post bad posts about you, or try to contribute to your downfall, then you have to respond with what? Joy and rejoicing. You don't respond with a talk back, get you back, I'm going to get you a vengeance or post negative posts just in response. The devil's got you won then. He's got you beat. And this is how we respond to pain, pressure, problems, or affliction. We are to respond in joy. Now, these are learned behaviors, learned things. Now, as we learn and grow and develop, the Lord was helping me tonight. Just give you a little bit extra to really understand some more. So He's like downloading stuff. This, man, Lord, this is awesome. So I'm going to give it to you. So if you turn to Galatians chapter 5 and then Psalms 90. Galatians chapter 5 and then Psalms 90. I got some stuff on the chart here. We're going to help you get more perspective on this. Everybody say joy. All right. So Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 13. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible because it's a little bit more clear and clarified. So if you could put it up in the Amplified and follow along with us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 tells us, "For you, brother, were indeed called to freedom, only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity to an excuse for selfishness. But through love, we should what? Serve one another. The whole law concerning human relationships is compiled within the one precept, you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. But if you bite and devour one another in partisan strife, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another." So you can see how things can get out of hand when you yield to the flesh. All right? But he says, in response to that, keep from doing that, in verse 16, "I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit." Everybody say responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. "So then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of the human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are agnostic to each other, continually withstanding in and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but you are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you're guided, led by the Holy Spirit, then you're not subject to the law. That law is the law of sin. And then, of course, not doing the practices of the flesh to clear obvious, which they are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sex, S-E-C-T-S, with particular opinions, heresies, envies, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. And I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit," that means participate or access, "in the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit," everybody say the fruit of the Spirit, "the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes," the work which his presence within accomplishes, "is love, joy," everybody say joy, "joy," and it's got parentheses, "gladness." Because the same Greek word is translated in other cases, gladness. Several times. Joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. And those that belong to Christ, Jesus Christ, Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, and its passions and appetites and desires. But if we, verse 25, if we live by the Holy Spirit. Now we see it in verse 16. We see the fruit in verse 22. We see the condition if in verse 25. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And if by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Amen? Verse 26, let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. Amen. Now, see, these are imperatives, and these are important things. I want to read just a little bit of that in the New Living Translation. So, if you Give me, John, if you could put it up there in the New Living, because I think it's good to look at that. The New Living. All right. He says, I'm going to read verse 16, then I'm going to skip down to verse 20. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two are contrary, are forces fighting constantly, are two forces constantly fighting against each other so that you cannot free to carry out your good intentions. Now he goes down to verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such as there is no law. Now, this joy that we're talking about is not just, it's categorized as fruit because these are fruits, byproducts of your newborn, recreated human spirit. But they're really forces of the Spirit that have to be cultivated, that have to be developed inside of you. So hopefully everyone's getting a greater appreciation of the fruit, the spiritual force of joy. Amen? And the important part that it plays in our life in as it pertains to serving the Lord. Amen? So we have to be cognizant of that. Now let's go to Psalms 90, verse 12, because this is tied to this. I'm going to read that out of different translations as well. So Psalms 90, verse 12 says to us, teach us, in the New Living, to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Now, every day matters, friends. And every day we don't turn off serving the Lord when we leave church. In your service for the Lord, as a soldier in the army of the Lord, because we're not in a civilian organization, we will experience difficulties, trouble, trials, tests, hard times, right? So God's not, let's read it in another translation. Let's go to the Amplified rendering. Bless you. God bless you. So teach us to number our days that we may get us, a heart of wisdom. Amen. So teach us to number our days. So we got to understand that I can't have a bad day because God doesn't have a bad day, meaning out of joy. I can't let the monitor of my joy life and joy level just go leak out and go to zero. You know, we know the scripture tells us, we've covered it before, there is a joy to salvation. Psalms 51 tells, restore unto me joy. Usually when you sin breaks fellowship and you lose your joy. And when you lose your joy, you lose your shout and your song. You don't want to shout. You don't want to sing. You don't want to come to church. You just don't have that joy working on the inside of you in a positive, productive way. Everybody that has the joy of salvation is in fellowship with God, and their joy level should be from good to great. From good to great. That means you wake up in the morning, you got joy, and it's a good level, but you can turn it up to great joy or fullness of joy as you get in God's presence and fellowship him with him in the morning, or as you stir up the joy that's already on the inside of you. And that joy can go from good to great. Amen? The Bible uses that word, great joy. Amen? Fullness of joy. Joyful. So you can get to a full level. You get full joy when prayers get answered. John 16 tells us, Jesus said, he said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. That, in other words, God wants all of us full of joy. Romans tells us that there's a joy of faith. So when we're believing God, we're not looking like we've been a raisin, playing an imitation raisin. We're all frowned up and pruned up and wrinkled up. No, come on now. We are happy. Amen? Romans, the back half of Romans tells us that, that God of hope will fill us with all joy and peace in believing. He will fill us with joy and peace in believing. So if we're believing and trusting God, we should be full of joy. Because we know answered prayer is our guarantee. His word never fails. His word never comes back void or of no effect. So we should get excited about it. Amen? Amen. And we can get joy in trials. And that's what we're kind of talking about in this context from last week and this week. When we are facing enemies, when we're facing opposition to the known will of God in our life, or the word of God in our life, the attack comes from the enemy because the word's sake, or the will of God and the call of God on your life, then you can still have joy. Amen? And we can still qualify when we serve the Lord, because he tells us in Psalms 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. That Hebrew word is the same word mentioned in the Hebrew many times, I think 44 times, for joy. So I'm supposed to serve the Lord with joy. I can't be walking around mad and or sad. He didn't say serve the Lord with madness. He said serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. And serving the Lord, remember, we it's not limited to the schedule or the time that we are to volunteer at church. We serve the Lord at home. We serve the Lord on our jobs. Amen? We serve the Lord within our respective communities. And so everything you do, you must do for the Christ. Do it as unto, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ you serve. That's what Colossians tells us. So if I'm cutting the grass, I need to be happy. So I got to qualify to please God, because you have to serve him with what? Like, if I'm washing dishes, I need to what? Be happy. You see how we can leak out and get yield to the temptation. It's a temptation to operate in madness or sadness. And so we get mad. And I like how one preacher said it. He said, the same britches you got mad in, you can get glad in. Because joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. You can choose to go to work angry and upset, or you can choose to work, stir up the joy of the Lord. Because I'm qualifying my day with gladness. Amen? Amen. Now, why is this so important? Now, let's look at Psalms 100, verse 2 again. I'm going to read it out of another translation. Psalms 100, verse 2. Just hang in there with me. Look at the New Living. Shout with joy to the Lord, all ye earth. So it's the older read earth. Worship the Lord with what? Gladness. Look at this. Come before him singing with joy. Come before him singing with joy. That means God don't want to be sad to get you sad to singing the blues to him. He wants you singing with joy. Are you listening to me? Now let's look at the message. The message says this. On your feet now. Applaud God. Bring him a gift of laughter. And sing yourself into his presence. He didn't say just listen to music. He said sing. So everybody's vocal cords is important in this room. Because he, you know, King James, King James says, make a joyful, what? Noise. You look at that word, joyful, right? That word is also translated gladness, a glad noise, a happy noise. Not a strange one, not a sad one, not a mad noise. You know how we can get mad around the house? And we think it's okay. Because we're not on then. We're not in the spotlight then. Nobody else looking at us, but he is. Are you listening to me? Bring him a song of joy. Think about the times you brought him a song of joy from your own lips. Amen. He said, sing to him. Yeah, we sing in church, but you sing to him. We're talking about singing for joy. We're talking about sacrificing joy. Because sometimes you don't feel like singing, but the Father likes it when you sing. But he wants you to be qualified in your singing by singing with gladness, singing with joy. Praise God that you want to give it to him. You're happy to sing it to him. Hallelujah. Why? Because I put this title here, Living Well with Joy Through the Seasons of Life. All of us go through seasons. We got young and older individuals in here, but we're just in a different season. Because we too often are concerned, you know, as leaders or servants of God, how we lead or serve. So I guess we want to call it performance focused. How am I going to do right now? But it's not about what you do; it's how what you become. All the time, you can put on a smile when the lights are on and when you're on the clock. You know what I mean? But are you really operating in joy? Are you listening to me? But God is concerned about how we live. Now, what are we reading? Galatians. Live in the Spirit. Walking just is, means lifestyle. Your lifestyle should be Spirit-controlled, Spirit-led, Spirit-filled. Responsive to, controlled by, filled with, led with, led by the Holy Spirit. Now, we saw the scripture in Psalms 1:9-12. Now, most people, and I've heard it taught and preached, and I've taught and preached it myself, that you know, numbering your days has to talk about time management and redeeming the time. Yes, that is true. But it's not just a numerical quantitative numbering of days. Because all of us have brevity of life. This life is like a vapor, James says. Amen? But it's a moral compass. It's a moral discernment of how short our life is and how we have to live wisely in the presence of God. Because God is in us. God is with us all the time. And he's watching you when you're upset and steaming and stewing. Is this all right tonight? Amen. How we can go through highs and lows and peaks and valleys. When we perform well, we're all, hey, yes. Everything went well. Got money in my pocket. You know, my spouse actually told me they love me today. Kids are acting right. I'm happy. Then when things are wrong or have gone wrong or under pressure, then we wear our emotions on our sleeves. And we either fall in the ditch of mad or we fall in the ditch of sad. Amen? And God wants us to grow up and learn to rejoice. Learn how to be sensitive and very aware of your joy level. I mean, not picking on them, But Pastor or something, I said, okay, we probably need to let everybody know to notify their face during praise and worship. Because some people sing like they're hurting. I'm not talking about the praise team, per se. I'm talking about everybody. Because I look around sometimes. I watch and pray and watch and praise. Amen. And you've heard her say it. You sometimes got to notify your face. Well, what's, God doesn't, every song and sung song is doesn't qualify as praise, acceptable praise. Remember, we said it. It's if any man marry, let him sing. You got to get your heart merry. That's a preparation. That's a choice that everybody in this room has to make. My heart has to get merry. So when the song is on, I don't care if it's country bluegrass. Come on now. We're talking about singing for joy, right? You're making a joyful noise. You might not be offbeat when they're doing this, but you joy. You got joy going on. Are you listening to me? And we don't sing like we're hurting. Like we're just getting ready to go in the coffin. Or we're singing at a funeral. Praise God. Is anybody here tonight? This is real stuff. Because God's looking at you, okay, they ain't got no joy in there. They ain't singing with joy. And remember, you know, God's sign over his office. You got 10 seconds to get enthusiastic or get out of my office. The Father likes you singing, but he wants you to sing happy and joyful. Amen? The Father likes you dancing, but he wants you dancing happy and full of joy. Somebody say glory to God. So these are learn and practice things. You got to learn to rejoice. That's why you need somebody to remind you. Okay, when you start talking about what you're going through, okay, you need to be talking about what you're going to. I'm going to do rejoicing right now. You need to be rejoicing right now. We just talked about all what the devil's done to you. Let's just rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Let's cheer up. Amen? You think about it. If Paul, the Apostle Paul, could go 14 days without eating on a forced fast on a boat in Acts 27, Rockladon, the hurricane storm, and then everybody's hope is gone, he can stand in the middle of all of them and say, everybody cheer up. Why? Because I believe God. That's joy. Amen? Glory to God. So through life, let's call them, I've heard them called three movements through the seasons of life. You know, we have the developmental years. That's usually from birth to 30. From birth to 30, and we know Jesus started his earthly ministry at the age of 30. David took over the throne of the king. Even though he was anointed at 18, he took over the throne at 30. Amen. Christian psychiatrists and psychologists say that those are the developmental years. 0 to 10 is your discovery years. They usually say by the age of 10, you discovered, you know, you've kind of come into your own personality and discovery process. And then 10 to 20 is your developmental years. You are to be developing the gift of God in you, figuring out what you're called to do in life, understanding the will of God for your life. Usually that's when people go to college and whatever, and they pick a major and all that kind of stuff, developmental years. But that's in the kingdom, that should be developing in the realm of the spirit. In spiritual concept, that we should be developing these gifts of the spirit and fruit of the spirit. Amen? So this is not just learning just for information, but learning for transformation and implementation. Everybody should be practicing rejoicing every day. Are you listening to me? practicing singing for joy. Amen. And then 20 to 30 is when you come, you've got 10 years, basically a decade, you're going to come away with a basket full of development or a wheelbarrow. Depends how much of a knucklehead you were. We call it young and dumb years. Some people catch on early, and they know at from 20 to 30, they are growing and developing, and they're stalwart by the time they're 30. They got a big wheelbarrow of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Are you listening to me? But these, you know, people who act like a jive turkey and just run around, don't do anything, don't study, don't apply themselves, and they just like drift through life. At the age of 30, they got a little bit of basket. How much you learn? So far? This is a little bit of basket here. And then the second movement is the defining years. That's 30 through 60. 40 to 50 is where you give. You know, usually your kids are around an age where you producing to put out. You're producing to put out. You're giving. You're sowing, though. You're investing. You're giving. And then 50 to 60 is when you take. So it's like a give and take. It's the years where, okay, I'm going to reap in a harvest of this investment. Well, the same thing with the practice of joy. Through the season of life, you're giving, but you're doing it with joy. Because you got angry parents these days. They frustrated because how expensive their kids are and how they always got their hand out. You got to be glad to do it. Be glad to believe God with them and teach them how to believe God. Be glad to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Even though things are tight, you keep your attitude right. Why? With what? The joy of the Lord, the peace of God. Amen? Amen. Keep the worry and cares out with the peace, and keep your spirits high and lifted with the joy, and strong and strengthened. Because you're going to go through some fire. But most people fall out between 40 and 50. That those are defining years, ladies and gentlemen. It's where you mentor now. You reposition yourself as a mentor. And then there is the deepening years, you know, when you're 60 plus. Now, at that point, it should take you, you know, Brother Hagin used to say it this way, and we're going to get back on singing with joy, but I think this was good that the Lord was giving me this, give you. In the deepening years, he said, you know, what used to take me an hour and a half to get in the spirit, because you have to get in the spirit to become spiritual. And it's living in the spirit, walking in the spirit, which is the standard. It's not down here. It's up there. So you got to practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of the Holy Spirit, and learn how to stir up your joy more efficiently and effectively as you get older. Now, I mean, people say, well, you get old and crusty and mean. No, that's not right. That's not the will of God. You don't become old and bitter. Everybody should be punching on you, squeezing you, because they squeeze your arm and joy comes in now. They see you walking around. I heard many testimonies of some of the old mothers and saints. They said, and their sons are now, you know, generals in the body of Christ. They said they used to watch their mother all around, cooking, washing, always didn't go 10, 15 minutes without saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, singing, making melody in their heart around the house. It was a lifestyle. It was how they lived. And they were always in God's face and in God's presence, and they were powerful men and women of God. That these were the deepening years, the newer horizons, that you said, look, I know how to touch God's heart. I know how to get in his presence. And like Brother Hagin said, it went from an hour and a half, now he said, don't take me 5 minutes. Now, he's 70 years old, 70, 80 years old at this time. 5 minutes. He can get in the spirit just like that. We'd watch him on stage one time. I mean, not on stage, but, you know, in the pulpit. And so, and he would switch over from English to the Spirit. Why? Because he had developed deep roots in this thing. Joy was not an issue with him. Learn how to get in the Spirit, laugh in the Spirit, rejoice, just like that. Showed us young cats, all the young guys and ladies, how to get it done. Demonstration, example. That's how we should be. Amen? And then we go from 70 plus and learn how to finish well. Don't get showing the younger, showing the folks in here that get stressed out because they got to get. Don't get stressed out. Let me show you how to deal with those cares. Let me show you how to rejoice. Let me remind you what the word says. Come on now. Is this all right? Y'all okay? Glory to God. Three movements through the seasons of life. And God wants us to move from season to season with joy. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. Praise God. I'm saying this because he's emphasized it to me again today that joy is a serious business of heaven. We can't afford to have down days and sad days and mad days. Walk around with junk in our attitude and stuff. We've got to live in joy. We've got to sing for joy and shout for joy as the occasions dictate by the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 18:2 says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause you to hear my words." And he went down to a potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessels that he made of clay were marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, this is an illustration of the potter, and kind of like a parable of the potter and the clay. Now, if you took art classes and did stuff like that, I did, one of the things you learn about art with pottery, making pottery, is you would have to put it in the oven. They call it a kiln. Got that in your handout. So whenever you go through fiery trials, it's like a pottery in a kiln. And so our faith is tried by fire oftentimes. And just like David said, I will shout, sacrifice shouts of joy, and sing for joy. It's like being in the fire, but you've learned how to sing in the fire, like the potter going through a fiery trial, pottery going through a kiln. Because what happens when the pottery's in there, when it's well done by the potter, doesn't fall apart in the kiln. It's the process begun in our life of completing. So instead of whining and crying, there's a song. Because when the pottery gets almost done, it starts whistling. You hear the sound. That thing's hot. But you hear a song. You hear a whistle. Your trial may be hot, but what? Heaven hears a song come from you, from your heart. Amen. Amen. So when the potter God hears a high-pitched sound, singing comes out of your vessel, he will bring you out perfect, and the results you receive will be the results of your faith. It's just like 1 Peter says, you know, though you be the trial, be tried with fire. Amen. You will get what you're believing, and you will receive what you're believing when you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What joy unspeakable. Now, this is heavenly, as it amplifies this, triumphant joy. Whew. That means you down, looks like you down and out, but you singing like you in heaven, triumphant. The same joy that's up there is rolling through your spirit, through your lips. Amen? You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. One translation says maximum joy. Now, you may be walking around with, you know, good joy. It's on 6, but now you in that trial, you turn it up to 10. I'm giving maximum joy. And everybody going to think around you think you're crazy because why are you shouting? Why are you singing? You ain't nothing to be singing about. We just lost this. This just broke down. We ain't got this. This just happened to our family. This diagnosis just came upon us. But they see you shouting and singing. I got y'all thinking tonight. That's good. Hallelujah. Because I want you to be thinking about rejoicing all the time. Amen. Because the Lord said this in Isaiah. It's right there in your handout. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, there's nothing to fear. So stop and take inventory of that. What should you be afraid of? Now, all sin is fear-based, worry is fear-based, fear-dependent, doubt is fear-based, anxiety is fear-based, stress, ungodly stress that's burdensome and breaking down you from thinking clearly and thinking straight is fear-based, fear-dependent. He says, For I'm with you. And do not look around for you in terror or be dismayed. That means be confused and broken down in the mind. Because you know what to do in trials. You turn on the joy. You offer the sacrifice of joy. Shout for joy or sing for joy. Amen. Sing praises. Because praise is not only a cure, but praise is also a weapon. Amen. He said, for I'm your God. I will do what? Strengthen you, strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Just like that kiln, that pottery in that kiln, getting hard, singing. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. So what happens? God, our Father, will strengthen and harden us to difficulties so we don't break down or fall apart during trouble, times of trouble, temptation, tribulation, and tests. So it's when joy and songs of praise are heard right in the middle of the fire that there is a release. Oftentimes, we determine how long we stay in the fire by our joy and rejoicing during the fire. Now, I know generally speaking, we can all do that. It's not hard to do, even in a corporate setting, when it's corporate praise and worship. It's not hard to get in joy. But it's when you're facing that giant, when you're facing that challenge, amen, that it must come like muscle memory. I know what to do. I'm not going to break down and start crying and calling everybody and complaining and getting sad. Right? I'm going to rejoice and be glad. Amen? So the presence of the Lord, there is what? Fullness of joy. So it's an atmosphere of heaven. It's heaven's hyperbaric chamber. A hyperbaric chamber is where there's high oxygen level. So you want to get into a high joy level, just like he said, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's like the hyperbaric chamber. You got to do it and get so high in joy and so full of the Holy Spirit to where you're almost intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, where that stuff doesn't affect you. That terror, that dismay, that trouble doesn't affect you. Amen? And so a hyperbaric was high oxygen level. As a patient receives treatments, he's called to dive. It's called a dive, and he must have assistance walking because he's under the influence of that treatment. They usually have to pull you out and then carry you out because you can't walk normally. Well, that's being drunk in the Holy Spirit is similar to that. Where you're so full that the thing that's bothering you doesn't affect you. Amen? So, think about it in the healing. The anointing of joy restores them to wholeness. It's heaven's medicine. A merry heart, Proverbs 17:22, is good like what? Medicine. We know in James 2, the Bible tells us, count it, what? All joy. When you fall into these situations. So you got occasions to rejoice. Maybe a lot or a little, depending on the severity of the situation. Amen? Now let's look at Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2:12. Is anybody getting something out of this tonight? All right, so let's Hebrews 2:12. Let's look what Jesus does. See, we think we're without help, but God's all in our stuff. He's with us. He's for us. Amen. Now, Hebrews 2:12 says, seeing I declare thy name to my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise to thee. What? Everybody say, what? That means Jesus sings? You know, Jesus dances too. And there are occasions where he sings over us when we're going through. I know in my life, in Christian life and ministry, there has been occasions where I can hear the singing. I wake up, I hear the singing. Not necessarily here, but these, it's in here. Those of you that heard the Marilyn Hickey tape, the teaching we had heard that one time, she said, you know, when she lost her husband, you know, where there was an opportunity to grieve. Now, you're a Christian, you're a believer. We shouldn't grieve like the world and sorrow like the world. Especially when people go home. But see, you know, you got people that magnify death. I mean, certain religions, I mean, they go into the casket year after year, and it's 10 years, 20 years. What are they doing? Honoring death. I'm not supposed to honor death. Life. He's given us life. Amen? People get stuck in grief and sorrow. Amen? God doesn't want you to get stuck in grief and sorrow and that you still had sorrow has a grip all over you 10 years later. Amen. And, but I know some religions teach that. They make a big deal of that, you know. Built mausoleums and they meet. That's why God says, you only got 30 days to cry over Moses. He says, shut up. Get up. Time to move in. Move out. I'm not saying you don't grieve. But, you know, after 10 years, you should be over. Amen. Glory to God. Not trying to be mean. All right. So let's look at this in the Amplified Bible. He says, I declare to your father, I will declare your father's name to my brethren. In the midst of worshiping congregation, I will sing hymns of praise to you. He's talking about himself. He's talking about himself. In the New Living, he says, for he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will sing praise. I will praise you among your assembled people. Amen. Now, in Psalms 32, let's go there. Psalms 32. You know, the Bible tells us that God sits in heavens and laughs. Jesus even said, John 15, verse 11, that these words have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you. That means joy cometh by hearing Jesus speak. If joy cometh by hearing Jesus speak, it also comes by hearing him sing. You don't think the Lord comes sometimes and just has church with us? We're praising him, but he's singing over us. Praises to the Lord. Because he is our high priest. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. All right, so 32, 6 and 7. He said, For this every one of you that is godly, pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from what? Trouble. Thou shalt encompass me about with songs of what? Deliverance. Songs of deliverance. And that's what Marilyn Hickey was talking about. She said, I sung over you all night. Because she woke up speaking in tongues and praying and singing in the spirit. He said, Lord, what is this? He said, I sung over you all night. So you didn't have to grieve the normal grief. And I delivered you from the grip of sorrow. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Blessed Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the Amplified says in verse 7, or 6 and 7, excuse me, for this forgiveness let everyone who is godly pray. Pray to you in the time when you may be found. Surely with great waters of trial overflow, when great waters or trials overflow, they shall may not reach the spirit in him. You are a hiding place for me. You, Lord, preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah 12:2. We're almost done. We'll sing a little bit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my what? Strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. We know, there, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength, but he's also our song. Amen. See, there's no distance. In the spirit, as believers turn their expectation and lift their voices to God and praise him. The songs you sing in the night, in the midnight hour of your life, will bring this salvation and deliverance to you. So how are you practicing? Now, there was a missionary, I won't call his name, but he was in a in the hospital on a very serious condition, and it was called septicemia, I believe it was called, a bacteria in his blood. So through prayer and medical attention, his life was saved, but he was still in critical condition. And so things didn't turn to the better until his two daughters and his wife got together and praise God around the house. They began to sing praises through the night. And then the next day when they went to the hospital, he was up, fine, and healed. Everybody say, sing for joy. And he said, well, And the testimony is that when they were singing at home, the Lord was singing over him in the hospital. Are you listening to me? See how powerful joy is and rejoicing is? And so he's singing over him, and he said he would wake up and be singing in the spirit and singing hymns, and the nurse would have to come in, come now. Be quiet, because he was just praising God, because he's hearing the songs of the Lord, the songs of praise, the songs of deliverance, and every single thing in his body was healed and completely made whole. Somebody say, glory to God. Now, I'm going to close with this scripture in Ephesians 5:18-19. Because here's the avenue and the assistance that we have and singing for joy. Let's all look at it. Hebrews 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, where is it excess, but be what? Everybody say, filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. So that's a law, that's an idea of continuation. Continue being filled. Speaking to yourselves in what? Now, notice what, I want you to notice speaking first to yourself in psalms. Psalms are a spiritual poem or an ode, O-D-E. Now, a psalm, there are 150 of them written for us. But a psalm can get facts right to your spirit, and you can recite them or you can sing them. Brother Hagin said during the toughest times of his life in ministry, he would speak in psalms almost the whole night. And somebody said, what about your body? Well, when your spirit's in the ascendancy, it can redeem time and restore your body rest. That's why joy is so important. Being filled with the Spirit is so important, ladies and gentlemen. Man, there's a lot of stuff in here tonight. I'd suggest you go back and kind of listen to it. But psalms, hymns, spiritual poem or a poem or an ode. We got 150 of them. Pastor Keith Moore said, I take a shortcut. I just sing the last five psalms. He's a psalmist, though. But he would sing the psalms. And he said, by the time the fifth one I'm singing, he said, I'm filled and overflowing with the Spirit and with joy. See, this is practical stuff that we need to put in place in our lives. Everybody say psalms. Now, there's hymns. There are some hymns that have been written, but there's still some hymns that have not been sung. And sometimes a hymn is a battle hymn. That's when now we got to get into it, but sometimes you need to sing about the blood, the freedom, the victory, the triumph from the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a hymn. It comes up like the old Pentecost. I don't know if you remember that. They used to say, it's bubbling up, it's bubbling up. That means it bubbles up on the inside of you. And you begin to sing a song that you hadn't heard before, but it's coming out of your spirit. Hallelujah. And then there's spiritual songs. Songs coming right out of the realm of spirit. Amen. And then when you look at it in some of the realm of the spirit, where the Spirit lives and where God abodes is in the presence of God, it's full of songs. It's full of songs. I think many of us got our toes in the water a little bit. We pray in the Spirit. We sing songs that we know, and that's good. But songs we need to develop to a point to where we're deep in this, that our heart begins to pull down a song. I remember some of the old saints used to hear testimonies about it. I just remember them telling it through some other men and women of God. They would say they would always go, even when they have lunch, they might be at a cafe somewhere eating lunch, and they said, the Spirit got to say something. Spirit wants to say something. Or the Spirit has a song. I remember in the old days, those of us that have been back a while, when they testimony service, they used to stand up and sing a song. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. But they would release joy to the whole congregation. We got to get back into those things. Got to tap into those things. Are you listening to me? Everybody say psalms. Hymns and spiritual songs. Then he says singing. So he says speaking, then singing. And making melody in your heart to the Lord. Daddy Seymour, Azusa Street. He said there'd be times when they have service, and he said everybody would be speaking in tongues. You know, believers meeting. That's what usually occurs. He said, but then we started singing in the Spirit. And he said the glory would roll in, and it would get thicker when we sung. We would be speaking, and then we would take it up to a higher level singing. It's progressive. See, when you speak in tongues, you get in the Spirit. But then once you're in the Spirit, you keep going. Then there's a deeper level, a higher level. Then you go up to singing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to get back to that. You got to look at how much do I sing in the Spirit? The songs of the church. The songs of victory. The songs about the blood. The songs about the triumph of Christ. Come on now. Glory to God. Come on, let's stand. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We get too busy. Because it is a sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. God's not as much interested in how we lead or how we serve, but how we live. This is a lifestyle of living spiritual, responsive to, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Let's come on up.